Coming up on this roster report, some post-draft thoughts. Hi, I'm Lori Baranski, and you're listening to the Roster Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. It's a gorgeous day here today at Gillette Stadium on Cinco de Mayo. You're going to hear some post-draft thoughts today by Brian Lowe, Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, and Andy Hart.
Okay, thanks once again, Lori. We are indeed here for the Patriots Roster Report for this Friday, May 5th. Joined by Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe, and this is the first roster report since the 2006 NFL Draft, which took place last weekend, and what I guess we're going to do on this show, since there haven't been any transactions since our last show last Friday, aside from the draft, we'll just go one by one on the Patriots draft picks and see sort of where they fit into the Patriots roster, at least at this juncture. And, of course, we're going to start with the number one pick, running back Lawrence Maroney. Maybe a surprise that the Patriots would go running back in the first round, but they did. And he joins a roster spot that has four or five veteran guys. He's really the fresh young legs, as Belichick talked about last week. Where does he fit in, at least for 2006?
Well, he's the backup. That if Corey Dillon gets hurt, Maroney's going to be the starting running back, in my opinion.
And beyond backup, I think he's a guy that injects playmaking ability into the offense. He's a guy that big play. He can, you know, you're talking to his running backs coach. He says anytime you hand him the ball, he can go the distance, and that's something Patriots fans haven't had since Paul and I were talking about the other day, Curtis Martin. You know, you haven't had a guy who first and 10 on the 20 after a touchback could score a touchdown. Mm-hmm.
If we're assuming a healthy Dillon, both physically and mentally. A given game, what do you think the breakdown is on carries? Not that that means everything, but what's the breakdown in carries with those two guys, and where do Kevin Faulk and Patrick Pass and even Heath Evans fit, if they fit at all?
Well, I think one of the things would be depending on how the game goes. I think right. If you have a lead late in the game, you know, you're going to give Dillon the ball more to bleed the clock.
Sure.
But I think you can expect, what do you guys think, about 8 to 10 carries maybe?
Yeah, I'd like, you know, somewhere, and again, Tom's right, it can vary, but 20-10. You know, 20 for Dillon, 10 for Maroney. And I do agree with Tom. If it's late in the game and you're trying to, you know, preserve a lead, you're probably going to have Dillon out there knowing that, you know, you have the comfort of his ball security at the, you know, even though Maroney has a tremendous reputation in college, you know, he hasn't done it in the NFL yet. You know, Dillon doesn't fumble the ball, even at his worst, he doesn't fumble the ball very often. So, you know, he'd probably be the guy that Belichick leans toward, you know, to get first downs in fourth quarters. But 20-10 and, definitely finding a way to get Maroney the ball every game, I think, would be important. And I think that's, you know, worst case scenario for Maroney.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, it could get better for him if Dillon doesn't, you know, you mentioned, you know, if he's 100% mentally and physically.
Right.
I think that's
and
a good point, Brian.
Yeah.
Because mentally, I think, was as much of a problem last year. It just seemed like he, you know, he never really got going. And if that's a problem again, I think now you have, you know, a legitimate option to turn to. They didn't have one last year. And you mentioned, you know, what does it mean for Patrick Pass and Heath Evans? Well, we're going to get to the rest of the draft picks, but I think Heath Evans is probably gone because of Lawrence Maroney, and I think Patrick Pass's his job is probably in serious jeopardy because of David Thomas and Garrett Mills having some ability to probably do some of the things that Pass does on offense.
Just one more thing to add on Maroney before we get to the rest of the picks. His college coach really believes his pass catching is kind of an untapped resource that they should have probably used him more in that role. He jumped up to 17 catches last year for a career high his junior season, but he believes he can be a pretty good pass-catching player in the NFL, an Edgerrin James type. So not just in taking stuff from Corey Dillon in terms of straight carries, but if he becomes a part of the passing offense and a three-down weapon, it could tie into all those other guys we've mentioned.
Right. Also has a good chance to return kicks, by the way.
Right, and one of the things that Belichick really tried to drive home last week when he was doing his press conferences after both immediately after this pick and later on is without using the word old, he was saying that
experience
that the Patriots running backs are old without
have a lot of experience.
Right. A lot of experience. So this
they
is
needed
a guy,
youth at that position. They needed
right.
it.
Right. They're all either 30 or I believe the youngest of that crew is Heath Evans, who's 27 or 28. But Dillon, Faulk, and Pass are all at least 30. I
right.
believe they're all 30.
It's so, the two positions we talked about all leading up in all our podcasts, everything, linebacker and running back, two positions where they haven't gotten any high level. Talented young players in a long time. People said, well, they didn't do it at linebacker. They did it at running back with a first-round talent who could be a, you know, Mike Shanahan franchise-type player in the NFL.
Right. Now, the wide receiver they got in the second round, the argument could be made. He's first-round talent, Chad Jackson, a position of need. It's a position that they just simply don't have a lot of depth. Deion Branch, obviously, is your number one guy. You've got Richie Caldwell, Troy Brown, Bethel Johnson in the mix, Bam Childress, and some of the other guys that we've mentioned who are either in NFL Europe or just looking to crack a roster anywhere. Where does Chad Jackson fit in? Could he be a starter on this team? Minimum, what's the minimum contributions you think he can make in 2006?
I think he's going to start off as the number three receiver. As Brady said during his press conference this week, you know, you got to remember, these guys are rookies. And being a running back, you can just come in and take the ball and run. But being a receiver, you have to learn the system, learn the routes. And plus, you have to, your quarterback has to feel comfortable with you. It takes a little bit of time for that to come about. So I think Jackson starts off as the number three. And if he progresses good, you know, he'll end up being the starter maybe by week six or eight.
A couple things that I think fall in his favor for doing that are the tight nature Bill Belichick's had with Urban Meyer over the last couple of years. Urban Meyer's spread offense, the fact that Jackson fulfilled two different roles in his last 2 years at Florida, going from a big play outside receiver to an inside four wide, kind of a short play receiver with that cut down on his production. But, you know, he's been asked to do some different things, so he impressed them with his mental capacity, right, in terms of breaking down a play they gave him. So, you know, I think he already has taken a positive step in terms of being in advance. Bill didn't want to compare him to Deion Branch, who he kind of said was special coming out of Louisville, but I think he's impressed them with his mental capacities for the offense so far.
An ability to adapt and an ability to learn, it seems, are two things, and clearly critical from Belichick's perspective. So it seems like he certainly could have a future here. And what he, both he and Belichick talked about were this quote-unquote test that he was given in the leading up to the draft, and how he did very well on it. Felt confident. Belichick obviously feels confidence in him. We'll see what happens with him and where he fits into the team.
Yeah, and you know, and it's interesting too, you know, in all the talk about Chad Jackson and that offense that he ran, and I know a lot of the draft publications have said that that could hurt him because this, you know, Urban Meyer's spread offense, not really you know, indicative of what he's going to do in the NFL, but I actually think there's a lot of things that the receiver, I think it's probably not the greatest gauge for a quarterback. You know, that spread offense. But I think for receivers, probably are asked to do a lot of things that they're going to be asked to do in the NFL and in the Patriots system in general. And I also found it interesting that Belichick was obviously talking to Urban Meyer so much. I think that part of that, and, you know, we had a quote from Andrea Kramer in one of our stories for the paper that indicated that Belichick is really trying to learn about that spread offense that Meyer runs. I could see, you know, the Patriots do some of those things with their five wide sets and four receiver sets. So I could see guys in the slot doing a lot of things that Chad Jackson probably did all of last year. I think it does kind of translate to the NFL, whereas a lot of the draft experts don't.
Urban Meyer, I don't believe, ever coached with or for Belichick.
No.
But he's the next guy. You know, Saban's in the NFL now. Clearly it seems like Urban Meyer is going to be one of those quote-unquote feeder systems.
Yeah, he's the next guy in the inner sanctum.
Several guys, not necessarily on offense, but several Florida guys reportedly are undrafted free agents that the Patriots are going to sign. So Belichick and Florida, there's certainly a link there.
And apparently there's a tie-in between Urban Meyer and Scott Linehan, who Meyer and Linehan coached together. Linehan and Belichick coached together. So
True. A lot of tie-ins. It's always interesting and intriguing to see where those go. Let's move on to tight end, a position that I thought was underrated in terms of Patriots' needs going to the draft, and they grabbed one on the first day, David Thomas out of Texas. Tom, I know you were high on him, and Garrett Mills, listed as a tight end, also listed as a fullback. It seems like his role here might be more as a fullback. But the tight end position, Daniel Graham, Benjamin Watson are the two quote-unquote incumbents. Where do these guys fit in, especially David Thomas?
Yeah, I really like Thomas because I think he gives Brady kind of a security blanket in the middle of the field. Benjamin Watson's more your big play kind of tight end. Thomas is going to work the intermediate routes, catch, you know, third and five, third and six, look for him over the middle. So I think he's going to come in and contribute right away. Garrett Mills, I talked to his position coach at Tulsa. He can play anywhere, H-back, fullback, tight end. That's a guy they're going to move around a lot, get him in
or
a lot of different
teams. Yeah, take your daughter to the prom.
Yeah, This guy can do it all.
This guy does it all.
So,
I didn't say Belichick's daughter. I said anybody. He's just kind of guy based on, you know, Tom's report. Just unbelievable reports coming from his tight ends coach at Tulsa, Coach Wells. I forget the first name, but
yeah, Matt Wells.
Matt Wells, basically, you know, said as good as he is on the field, he's an even better person, and it sounds like this guy certainly does a whole lot of different things well. And you know, I for one question the pick, not because of the player, but because of, you know, taking a guy, in my opinion, with a very similar skill set as Thomas, and I still believe that. But I have no doubt that they got themselves a good player.
Well, the Mills pick was the first one for the Patriots on day two of the draft on Sunday. Their second pick on day two, also in round four, kicker, Steven Gostkowski. We all knew that a kicker would be either drafted or signed by free agency. Also, Martin Gramatica signed in free agency last month. Gostkowski, you got to figure, fourth round pick is probably going to be on this team.
Yeah, I would think
so. He'd have to blow up.
Yeah,
he'd have to completely blow up not to be.
I thought all along Gramatica was a stopgap, a guy, just a veteran guy to have in training camp. I don't know what he has left in the tank.
Right.
Gostkowski, he's got a strong leg. He's very accurate. If he can handle the pressures of kicking in the NFL, I don't see any reason why he won't be the opening day starter.
Yeah, the question would be, is if Gramatica is the stopgap for a season. Now, I have no doubt that Gostkowski will be with the Patriots in some regard. I mean, whether that's practice squad, whether, as Andy says, he comes up with a groin pull, in late July, and he's on IR all year. I don't think the Patriots will completely discard a fourth round pick, but they won't keep two kickers on the roster.
And I think the mystery groin pull is probably more likely than practice squad, because I don't see how you waste a guy who doesn't need development in the sense of learning the system, learning the playbook on the practice squad. I don't know.
See, but to me, if he's on IR, then he can't help you this year. If he's on the practice squad and Gramatica, starts off two for his first eight, then you can go to the practice squad and take the kid and put him out there. And I think that the fear of losing the player, I think, is also easily remedied just by, sitting down with them and say, look, you're our kicker. We drafted you in the fourth round. We have full faith. You're going to be our kicker for the next 10 years. We're just not exactly sure when that 10-year period is going to start. Stay here. You're going to get offers. Stay here. We'll pay you. And I think Andy brought it up, the perfect point. Whatever the rookie minimum is, not for practice squad, for active roster, you give him that.
Yeah.
But there is risk.
And that's all he'll make on someone else's roster.
But there is risk.
Oh, no, no question. But you need to talk to him. You don't make this move, Andy, without assurances. Do you know what I'm saying?
But there is always a risk because he might agree with you, but it's a business. We've heard enough times this spring.
It's not going to be a written agreement.
If somebody goes down on another team and that team's atop their division and the Carolina Panthers, Casey, if he goes down and the Panthers come to him and say, we're going to the playoffs. We're the odds on favorite to go to the Super Bowl. We want you to be our kicker now and for the next 10 years, just like the Patriots spin it. John Fox goes, you're my guy. Casey's on the downside. You're my guy. There's a chance. Yep. Gostkowski goes, that sounds good.
I think there's less of a chance of that happening than if he's on IR and you in turn need him during the 2006 season. I think there's a better chance of that happening.
Right. There's obviously a better chance of that, but
I don't think there's a good chance of either happening.
If you lose him.
I really don't see it either happening.
Well, I think he's going to win the job in camp. I think this is all a
Gramatica lost. Gramatica lost his confidence, and when a kicker loses their confidence, I don't think they're ever the same. I don't think this is going to be close. I think it'll be close.
September 10th will be close to 2 years since Gramatica has kicked in an NFL game.
Yeah.
Too. It's not like he's coming off a great year or anything like that.
And of course, Brian, there's four of us talking about this. We're all complete. Amateur.
Gary's not talking about it, but he's here and kicking.
We're complete amateurs, when it comes to this, because really the true gauge of kicking talent is Fred Kirsch. Yeah. And Fred Kirsch will have his Kirsch Kicking Chronicles starting in training camp.
Wow, this is going to be intriguing, because first time in about 10 years that there's been any kicker, intrigue. So,
well, last year he was the one who targeted Robbie Gould as having talent. Don't ever give me the wrap it up sign.
He was a kicker for a playoff team. Here's a kicker. A couple of offensive linemen. We got five more guys who they took in the fifth through seventh round. A couple of offensive linemen, tackle Ryan O'Callaghan and guard Dan Stevenson. Practice squad is certainly an option that they like to store offensive linemen on there. What do you know about these guys, and can they be impact players on this?
Well, O'Callaghan is a guy that some people thought was the best right tackle in the draft, potential first day talent. I know he was very disappointed to fall into second day. Happy to be in New England now. That seems to be the thing he's going on. Oh, it's better to be in New England on day two than maybe some other worse run organizations on day one. But there are scouts out there. I've read some things. People believe he can challenge for a starting job. A guy like Brandon Gorin, day one in New England. He certainly has the size, the build, the tools. Not overly athletic, but probably athletic enough to get the job done. Seems like the question here is the guy's drive, internal,
pushing himself to be the best he can possibly be. I talked to his offensive line coach at Cal, and he felt that was the one downside. Maybe he wasn't challenged quite enough and never reached his ceiling at the college level.
Right, and if he's that talented and he's considered one of the best or the best right tackle, there's got to be a reason why he fell to the fifth round.
Yeah, and I think he'll make the roster, and I think Stevenson has a better chance of making the practice squad, the more developmental guy, where O'Callaghan could come in and help you out if he had some injuries at the tackle position.
I'd tell you more about Stevenson, but because Notre Dame is run by Charlie Weiss, a Bill Belichick disciple, coaches aren't allowed to talk until Weiss approves it, and he's out of the picture for a month on
is
a recruiting
right?
trip.
Interesting. Well, I guess we'll have
Thanks,
to wait.
Chuck.
I guess we'll have to wait until we actually hear from Stevenson himself next week. There are a couple of defensive players. Believe it or not, the Patriots did draft defense in this draft. That would be Jeremy Mincy out of Florida, Lakeven Smith out of Nebraska, and Willie Andrews out of Baylor. Any of these three guys, who among these three guys can come in 2006 and make a roster spot and have an impact?
Well, I think Smith has a good chance of being the backup nose tackle to Vince Wilfork. He's played end tackle in college. He can move around a little bit, but as Bill said at his press conference, I wouldn't rule him out at end, but I think we're going to try him at nose first. And they need a big 300-pound backup to Wilfork just in case he gets injured. You don't want to have to lean on Mike Wright and Dan Klecko for 6 or 7, 8 games during the season. This guy, he's got some beef to him. He's a run stuffer. You know, he can come in, fill in for Wilfork if he gets injured for a long period of time.
I like Mincy too. He's a guy that's making that common transition to outside linebacker, and you know he was pretty productive at Florida in his two seasons there. He was a junior college guy. All reports, I mean, you know, reading some feature stories on him. Just got off the phone actually just before we started this podcast with I had a chance to speak to defensive coordinator Greg Madison from University of Florida.
You got to take that opportunity anytime you get.
And, he had a lot of positive things to say about not just, the player, because always, the coaches are always have an affinity for their players, but he talked about it, and specifically, he did a lot of the things that he'll have to do as an outside linebacker. They dropped him in a lot of fire zones, he called them. He actually covered wide receivers at times during as part of their system. So it's not going to be a complete cold transition to linebacker that it is probably for a lot of guys in college trying to make this move.
I would be careful if I was him looking out for an August injury. Smell a little IR for him too.
that's a possibility.
Watch out, probably the day right before cuts.
Yeah.
Although I'll tell you, if he comes in and he can play, that's a very thin position too.
Thin.
If he can
very
play,
thin.
They might just keep him.
And the thing too, Willie Andrews comes in as a safety. He set records at Baylor for punt and kickoff
returns. Specialist.
Very gifted return guy and did a lot of different things on defense.
And that position is wide open. Tim Dwight's a Jet. Bethel Johnson might not be a Patriot.
Right.
That position's wide open in terms of kick return and punt return specialist.
If he can provide a spark in the return game, they'll find a spot for him.
Clearly that's something that Belichick targeted
It might be tough for a seventh-round pick to come in and make an impact in the defensive backfield, where right now the Patriots have a lot of quantity. We'll see what the quality is like, but certainly in the return game, he could be an option.
Yeah, I don't want to get carried away with a seventh-round pick, but
I
agree with you. I think this kid has some ability.
Yeah. Now, we haven't found out for sure, nothing official on undrafted rookie free agents. Freddie Roach, a linebacker out of Alabama, seems to be the headliner in terms of reports.
Why don't you have Andy read off
Andy,
the list
if you
right
have
here.
That in front of you.
These
we'll
are not official, but they're based on reports from the local paper tied to the college player. Quarterback Wyoming, Corey Bramlett. Keon Jackson, defensive back, Toledo. Sam Smith is a safety/linebacker out of Delaware State. Vernell Brown, cornerback, kick returner out of Florida. Randy Hand, tackle, Florida. Jarvis Herring, safety, Florida. Jamara Williams, defensive back, Buffalo. Eric Davis, wide receiver, Vanderbilt. Brian Barthelmes, guard, Virginia. Freddie Roach, linebacker, Alabama, probably the most notable prospect. Corey Mays, linebacker, Notre Dame. Matt Shelton, wide receiver, Notre Dame. Pierre Woods, linebacker, Michigan. And safety out of Florida State, Kyler Hall, will reportedly be in town at rookie camp for a tryout.
Okay, so no surprise that we hear the word Florida, the word Virginia, Al Groh, and also
Notre Dame.
Next Friday, which will be May 12th, is on the eve of the rookie minicamp, and by that point we'll know which of these undrafted free agents are in. We'll have an actual minicamp roster, so on the roster report for next Friday, we'll preview the minicamp, talk about who's on that roster for that weekend, and who you might want to look out for as you follow coverage of the Patriots rookie minicamp, which is May 13th and 14th. That's going to wrap up this edition of the Patriots roster report. For Paul Perillo, Andy Hart, and Tom Casale, I'm Brian Lowe. Thanks for listening. Let's send it back to Larry.
Thanks, guys. And just so you know, the Patriots Pro Shop is having a spring clearance right now where over 100 items are on sale with up to 80% off. You can see free shipping through PatriotsProShop.com or come on down to Gillette Stadium where you can turn in any old Patriots or NFL jersey and they'll give you 20% off a new one. All jerseys turned in will be donated to Morgan Memorial Goodwill. Visit the Pro Shop at PatriotsProShop.com for more details. Thanks for listening.